Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, May 18th. I'm Abby Larico. The 2026 Missouri legislative session is over. Lawmakers passed 100 bills this year, 26 more than last session. But the legislature was not able to pass what many considered their number one priority, property tax reform.
I think both Republicans and Democrats have said that property tax relief is something that their constituents really want, and they're going to have to face those constituents in an election year and say that they didn't get anything major on that done.
Breaking down what broke down and other takeaways from the end of the session. Plus, Patricia Pendleton's family and friends recently visited a garden named in her honor a year after she died in the May 16th tornado.
Pat's up there saying, y'all keep working together. I need for you all to keep working together.
As our series Torn continues, we'll hear from Patricia Pendleton's loved ones. That's coming up on The Gateway. Over the past 4.5 months during this legislative session, Missouri lawmakers passed 100 bills, including the budget for this upcoming fiscal year. St. Louis Public Radio's Jonathan Aul spoke with State House and Politics reporter Sarah Kellogg about what passed, what didn't, and what could pop up next year.
Sarah, how do you feel the final day and week of the 2026 Missouri legislative session went this year?
Well, they made it all the way to Friday this year, and I haven't seen that since 2023, and this was way more productive. And that was a little surprising because of how session ended last year. There was a really major blow-up between Senate Democrats and Republicans. This year, no such blow-up. They were able to work on bills pretty much up until the 6 p.m. deadline on Friday. And honestly, it was a quietly busy week, and I say that because they did pass a lot of legislation, but it was a lot of smaller things. They did manage to get some larger bills passed in the final week, but kind of a calm last day.
So what were in those bills that came through in the last week?
Well, the legislature was able to pass a large election bill earlier in the week that included eliminating automatic campaign donations. So someone who wanted to give a recurring donation would have to give like explicit affirmation that they want to do that. They also passed a large downtown development bill that aims to convert vacant properties into housing. And this could include the AT&T Tower and Railway Exchange buildings in St. Louis. And on this last day, they passed a large public safety bill that included expungement language.
What is expungement language?
So this is also called clean slate legislation. And what it does is it would establish an automatic record clearing or expungement process for records for lots of offenses, excluding violent crimes or offenses against children and traffic violations. So if you're someone who was convicted of a nonviolent crime, like a drug charge, this basically would clear that of that on a record.
What didn't make it through this year that surprised you?
Well, there were two things, the biggest one being property taxes. You know, that was apparently a priority for both Democrats and Republicans. Senate Republicans said that was their number one priority, and nothing major was done on that. And I think both Democrats and Republicans were really unhappy about that. I think there was a question if there was going to be something across the finish line in the final hour, but ultimately nothing was done. And I think both Republicans and Democrats have said that property tax relief is something that their constituents really want, and they're going to have to face those constituents in an election year and say that they didn't get anything major on that done. And also, there was nothing really big done on education. Governor Kehoe wanted a bill that would grade schools and school districts on an A through F basis. He didn't get that into statute this year, but ultimately, you know, there was, again, an idea that there might be a big education package, but that didn't get through.
Do you see some of these issues returning next year?
It's early to say, but I definitely think we will see the return of property taxes, since that is something that is such a priority for so many lawmakers in this building, especially if Missouri ends up not passing the proposed amendment on income taxes that used a lot of capital this year to get through. You know, voters will say yes or no on that. That will take up a lot of the tax conversation if it does pass. If it doesn't, that really clears the way for more conversations on property taxes. Other than that, we'll kind of have to see in part what Governor Kehoe wants next year. He has a pretty good track record of getting the legislation that he wants across the finish line in his first 2 years as governor. I don't see that being any different in 27.
That was St. Louis Public Radio's Jonathan Aul and Sarah Kellogg. Learn more about what happened this legislative session and what didn't at stlpr.org. Survivors gathered at Fountain Park this weekend to grieve 1 year after a deadly tornado devastated North St. Louis. At 2:39 p.m. on Saturday, exactly 1 year after the tornado hit, InPower Institute led a grief ceremony. Many are still dealing with losses from the tornado, but Saturday's crowd was hopeful that the north side can rebuild. Fountain Park resident Marlon Boykin says his neighbors have taken care of each other.
We have really held each other up. Even those that are unhoused, that are regular faces around here, you know, we take care of. And they always knock on doors to see if they can do anything, if there's any work. Can I move some of these bricks for you? Things like that. So it's amazing.
The event was organized by 314 Oasis and offered support to residents impacted. The National Weather Service now says the storm last May was even larger than first believed. In a revised storm assessment released Friday, the NWS says the EF3 tornado reached a record width of 1.8 miles. That is the widest tornado documented in the St. Louis region since reliable records began in 1950. The storm killed 5 people as it moved through St. Louis County, St. Louis, and into western Madison County in Illinois. The agency also now confirms a second tornado hit that day, an EF1 that tracked through parts of the Metro East and lifted near SIU Edwardsville. The updated findings were based on additional ground surveys and aerial imagery collected after the storm. The widow of a man killed in last year's tornado is suing the City of St. Louis's Emergency Management Agency and its Forestry Division. Juan Baltazar was driving through Carondelet Park during the storm when a tree fell on his pickup truck, killing him within minutes. His wife, Rachel, requested public records from both agencies last fall related to the storm. She filed a lawsuit against the agencies this month, alleging they violated Missouri's Sunshine Law by not adequately fulfilling those requests. The lawsuit states SEMA never sent Rachel Baltazar any documents, and the Forestry Division's response didn't address several of her questions. The suit demands that the agencies fulfill the public records requests within 30 days and pay her $5,000 each. 74-year-old Patricia Pendleton was known as a spunky servant who spent nearly 40 years volunteering at Centennial Christian Church in Fountain Park. She was another one of 5 people who died as a result of the tornado. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley joined Pendleton's loved ones a year later at the garden dedicated to her at Eden Theological Seminary.
Harry Alexander Pendleton III kneels as he clears the ground of leaves at the Eden Theological Seminary in Webster Groves. He then fertilizes the soil before planting tomatoes.
Putting the compost in the bottom and then putting it around the sides.
It's the first time he's visited the seminary garden since it was named the Patricia Pendleton Garden, or Pat's Place, in honor of his late wife several months ago. She was one of 5 people who died when an EF3 tornado devastated the St. Louis region last May.
You miss a person so much, you just have to go forward, because she'd want me and the family to go forward, you know, and think of her and keep her in our prayers.
A sprouting row of radishes in the garden spell out the word Amen. One of Pendleton's longtime friends, Jeanette White, stands nearby, shocked to see her husband, Gary, watering the plants.
That man had never done that for anybody.
But another friend, Patricia Clark, says that's the kind of impact Patricia Pendleton had on people. She inspired them to serve beyond their comfort zone.
Pat's up there saying, y'all keep working together. I need for you all to keep working together.
Pendleton was a longtime member of Centennial Christian Church in Fountain Park. The church was demolished last month after suffering severe damage from the tornado. But Harry says local humanitarian groups like 314 Oasis have been providing food and other help to tornado victims in the parking lot of the church. He says these are efforts his wife would have loved to support, and she would have been serious about it.
She didn't like to procrastinate. You can come along with us and do it, or we got to move on.
Patricia Pendleton also worked as a volunteer at the seminary's garden for 7 years and helped glean crops from fields in Indiana. Kristen Leslie is a co-director of the Eden and Gleaning Garden Project at the seminary.
We harvest corn and asparagus and zucchini and cabbage and broccoli, and we get about 25,000 pounds every season that comes back to the food ministries.
She says many needed that food after last year's tornado, especially during the cold months.
I do a lot of work with St. Louis Winter Outreach, that we work in the coldest of months to get people shelter. So at the tornado, we were mindful that that was going to hit us hard.
Clark says she misses hanging out with Pendleton and sharing ideas about community outreach the most. They'd been friends for nearly 40 years, but now she says something is missing.
Emptiness in my heart, because I enjoy hearing new ideas, and this has been a rough year for me.
Although Pendleton and the church she served for decades were lost to last year's tornado, her other longtime friend, Jeanette White, says they haven't lost everything.
It was a beautiful church, but the people, that was what made all the difference, and I think that's what we were experiencing.
She says although she's still grieving, life has felt lighter lately.
From May until October, November, I was kind of walking around in a fog, like a veil. Well, the veil is lifted. I'm feeling pretty good now.
I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
Harry Pendleton filed a lawsuit last week against the city of St. Louis and Centennial Church for Patricia's death. Among other things, it says the city failed to warn her about the tornado when the sirens didn't sound, and that the church didn't adequately repair bricks in the building, causing them to collapse on top of her. Today's story was edited by our Rebecca Thiel. For the last week, St. Louis Public Radio has been exploring the struggle to recover from the tornado, the flailing government response, and the fight for North St. Louis. We've looked into the decades of disinvestment that have made moving forward harder, the ways in which neighbors have banded together and shown up for one another, and the ways officials have been missing from recovery efforts. You can find our coverage at stlpr.org/torn. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.